door.
Russian, please grab your Bibles, please. The book of Matthew, chapter 17. As we start off this chapter, actually, we started the chapter this week. That's last week. Here we go. But in here, we start talking about faith. And we're going to read this passage through, and we have a reminder of faith. And faith is really two aspects. One is hanging on, has that idea of, this is how I kind of picture this. God's word, he tells us things, and we hang on to it. And how tightly do we hang on to that? That is our faith. Believing what he said, clinging to what he said, no matter what happens around us. Years ago, I had a chance to go whitewater rafting. I had a friend of mine say, hey, you want to go? I said, how much does it cost? And he told me the price. I said, I can't go. He goes, I'll pay for it. I was like, yes, I'll go. And I don't know, has anyone here gone white water rafting? Easy for you to say. And it was funny because we get down there, and you guys should know what I'm talking about. Because we're walking up through and watching people go through the raft. It's like, ooh, that's kind of scary. And we got into the raft, and we got this short little guy, this little lady, and she was like a pit bull. She was like, listen, you will obey me, you will do what I say, because if we get in there, our lives, people can die doing this. And that gets your attention when people say, And so she goes, listen, so we got in there, we were practicing, and she goes, take your legs and wrap them around the little inflatable part there and brace yourself. And she says, when I say right, the people on the right paddle. When I say left, the people on the left paddle. And she had some other orders. She was barking at us. And once again, if someone doesn't do it, she was right there. Because listen, you need to listen to me. Because we, all our safety is on the line. And so we got down in there, and we came up to the first set of rapids. We were watching the person in front of us, and they flipped over, and people were floating all over the place, bumping into the rocks, and we're like, and so we were heading into that, and she goes, watch me, and do what I tell you to do. So we head in there, and she's like, right, left, 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 and she's going back, and we're all like, and we got through safely. And I was thinking, because I was waiting for that, oh no, I'm going to die moment. Now, to be honest with you, I was actually looking forward to that. That's why you do this, right? And I was like, and we got through, and we looked back, and we watched the one behind us came up through. About halfway through, they flipped over, and people were bouncing off the rocks and all that. And so, we look at the lady, and we're all like, thank you. And she goes, listen, if you wouldn't have listened to me, that would have been us. We've been shipwrecked. And it was funny because going through, like I said, I was so busy doing what I was told and listening and paying attention that I missed that, oh no, we're going to die moment because we were so focused on her. That's kind of like faith. When we go through the trials and the storms of life, if we listen to the Master and obey him and cling to what he says and focus on him, we can make it through the storms. That's faith, hanging on to. The other aspect of faith is, what are you hanging on to? We're going down through in this white water, and we're in this raft, and it's just a big inflatable toy. And you put in a lot of trust that it is going to sustain as it was bumping into the rocks, that it wasn't going to pop. And luckily going through the raft was strong enough, right? It was worthy of our faith. Meanwhile, behind us, there was this guy going through with a little canoe. And the canoe got about halfway through the rapids, and then it disappeared, and the guy just kept going. And I don't think we ever saw the canoe again. That canoe, the guy put his faith in that canoe, but it was not worthy of his faith. And same thing with us. What are we putting our faith in? Right? You can hang on with dear life to the wrong thing, and it won't help. That's why you talk about this morning, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him, and I trust in his word, I have great faith that I can get through these things if I hang on to him. And starting in verse 14, we have this picture of faith being brought out. Take a look here, Matthew 17. starting at verse 14. It says, when he had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except for prayer and fasting. It's interesting because in this dialogue, picture the scene. Just prior to this, remember, Jesus had the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Jesus was gone. He had taken James, John, and Peter up to the mountain. The rest of the disciples were left behind. And so while they were gone, this man shows up. And I imagine he brought his son because his son had this condition that needed to be healed, and he knew Jesus could heal him. And so he turns around and shows up, and I imagine the first thing he probably said was, where's Jesus? And Jesus is not there, because what? He's up on the mountain. So the disciples say, look, bring him here. We'll heal him. And so the disciples try to heal him and are unable to do that. So Jesus comes off the mountain, and there's a multitude that had gathered. And they bring him up. And it's interesting because the disciples were unable to heal him. And notice what he says here. He says, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. And he talks about the seed of a faith the size of a mustard seed. And I'll tell you, I was always kind of perplexed by this passage because the man brought his son to Jesus. Isn't that showing faith? I think it does, right? I don't know how far he traveled or how long he was away from home, but in his mind he goes, I need to go to Jesus. And a mustard seed's tiny. I said, man, does this man not even have a mustard seed of faith? And it struck me as I was studying through for this week that notice what he says here. He says, because of your what? Your unbelief. Because your unbelief. Actually, in Mark, this is a parallel passage. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out with tears. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my what? Unbelief. I find it interesting that he didn't say, Lord, help me believe more. Give me more faith. He goes, what? Help my unbelief. And this got me thinking as going through life that, you know, I love the Lord. And Lord, I would say I trust him. I believe I have faith in him. And I'm sure you're in that situation, right? We turn around and say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I know you will take care of me, right? We know that. But things come along our way that cause us to have fears and doubts. And these fears and these doubts rob us of the power of our faith. You know, many of us are carrying too much doubt. And there's different reasons. Actually, I think we look at this passage, and I came up with three things that if we're not careful of, will rob us of our faith. They'll take away the power of the faith that we have in him. Because how many things are you carrying? Now, this is me in the grocery store. I go to the store, I do not grab a basket, Walmart, I used to grab a basket, they don't have baskets anymore. You notice that? And I asked, I said, what happened to all the baskets? And someone said, someone stole them. And the store said, we're not replacing them. So over the course of a very short period of time, all the baskets are gone. Because they were stolen. I'm like, who's stealing baskets from Walmart? I don't know. And so I don't want to push around a cart. That's like so domesticated. I mean, like, I you know, a macho man like me doesn't push a cart, yeah. But I'm just like, I don't want to push a cart around. It's like, especially because if I'm in there, I only want one or two things, right? I go in and I'm focused on what I want, and usually I run in and I grab it. I don't really dilly-dally along most of the time. And yet, sometimes I end up like this guy, right? I go in there, I only want to do things. I don't need a basket. I don't need a cart. And all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh, I need that too. Oh, I like this too. And I like this. And next thing I know, I'm running around. And now, because we've gotten rid of the plastic bags, and I never carry a bag into the store with me, right? So this is not just me walking in the store like this. Now this is me walking out of the store. Trying to juggle. I'm not the only one, because I see other people, too, walking through the parking lot. Maybe that's where all the baskets went, right? We got rid of the paper, the plastic bags. And, you know, because, you know, some places now offer you, like, for 5 cents, you can buy the paper ones. But they're so thin, it's just an illusion. You get you know, they rip all apart. And I have some of the vinyl bags in my truck. But once again, I don't bring them in with me. My wife has told me not to buy anymore because I have more than enough. You know, so I'm afraid to buy one, so this is me. But what happens is if I'm not careful, I fill my hands with all the stuff that I didn't come for, that I have no room for what I came in there for. That's the whole point of this. And folks, I think in our lives, this is a good illustration of, you know, I have faith, God, I'm trusting you, and then along the way, I load myself up with all these fears and all these doubts and all these what-ifs. And next thing I know, that I'm so overcome by all these things that rob me of my faith, that I have a hard time keeping grip of the very thing that I need most of all. Hopefully that makes sense. And so I want to give you three things this morning from this passage. Three things that, if we're not careful, will rob us of our faith. The first one is wrong expectations. Expectations are a dangerous thing. It really is. And sometimes we set our bar so high, or we anticipate other things. For instance, in this case, I think of this man who came all that way to bring his son to Jesus. And he shows up, and what happens? Jesus isn't there. Jesus isn't there. Where's Jesus? Well, he went up on the mountain. When's he coming back? I don't know. I came all this way to see him. He's the one I need. And the disciples are like, no, bring him here. We'll heal him. And I think this guy was kind of like, no, I need Jesus. Right? He had the expectation that only Jesus could do it. Back in Matthew chapter 10, we see this. It says, then when he calls his 12 disciples to him, this is Jesus, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Now in here, Jesus had given the authority to do these things to the disciples. And I think there's a conflict that takes place here. Because they're like, well, no, I don't want a disciple. I want Jesus. And yet Jesus had given the authority to the disciples. Right? The man had an expectation for something. And I'm sure that kind of played into the doubts of the disciples too. Right? Bring him here. We'll heal him. And the guy's like, yeah, right. Have you ever been in a situation where people didn't expect much from you? And how that makes you feel? And sometimes it brings self-doubt into your life. You ever had that? Where people expect something great and then it's like, oh yeah, you're not what I wanted. And we see this in our lives as we trust in the Lord and we have this idea of how God should work and yet he doesn't work that way. And when God isn't working like we think, it starts nibbling away at our faith. Here's a good example. This is out of the book of 2 Kings. This is Naaman. And Naaman was a Gentile, a military leader, and he had leprosy. And then he was told that there was a man of God in Israel who could heal him. And this is what happened. It says, then Naaman went with his horse and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you shall be clean. Right? Naaman came to be healed. He went down to see the man of God. And Elijah never showed up. He just sent a servant out and said, hey, this is what you go to do. Look at Naaman's reaction. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I have said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. Right? Naaman had this idea of what this was going to happen. He was an important man. He thought, surely this man of God is going to come out, right, and present himself to me. And when he would come, he would present himself to me, and he would pray to his God, and he would wave his hands. I think that's the funniest thing, because people have an expectation of you, right? Because that's what spiritual is, right? Ooh! Because I thought you were just going to wave his hands over me and pray to his God, and then I would be healed. Instead, what happened? He goes, no, I could show up. He sent his servant out. And told me to go dunk myself in the Jordan. And the Jordan was one of the filthiest rivers. And actually, just after this, Naaman's like, look, if I just had to go take a bath, I could take a bath in my hometown. The water's cleaner there than this dirty Jordan. Right? He had an expectation. He wanted God to work. But he thought how this was going to work out. He had this expectation of what the power of God was going to look like in his life. And when he didn't match up to that, he was like, this can't be right. At least come out and wave your hands around. And Naaman was going to walk away. And folks, we get that way. Don't we? Especially if things are kind of stretching out over time. Like, Lord, this is what I thought you would do. And he doesn't do it that way. And look what happened here to Naaman. And then his servant came near and spoke to him, saying, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Now think about this, right? Because he thought Elijah was going to come out and wave his hands, right? Do something magical, hit him on the forehead, I don't know. Do something of that nature, something spiritual, right? He goes, what if Elijah, what if he came out and told you to pile 20 rocks together and pray over it and pour water over it and do all these great things? He goes, would you have done that? He goes, yeah, that kind of falls into my expectation. To something great. And sometimes in our lives, isn't that, when we pray and we ask something, don't sometimes we expect some grandeur? A voice from heaven or something miraculous to appear, or all right, we have this expectation of God, if you're really going to work, this is what it looks like, and God doesn't often work that way. And the servant hits the nail right on the head. Look, if God had asked you, if the servant had asked you to do something great, would you have done it? The question is, yeah, you would have done it. But to do something as simple as dunking yourself was too much. How much more then? When he says to you, wash and be clean. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. Folks, sometimes it's the simple things. Be faithful. I remember years ago, I had someone come up to me and goes, Pastor, can you recommend a good book about marriage? I said, yeah, I can think of the best book. I said, the Bible. I said, I can give you a list of verses that talk about marriage and all that. He goes, no, I don't want the Bible. He goes, I want a real book. Right? And in here he thought, well, maybe some psychologist or some great speaker, right? He wrote a book of that is the answer.
No, it's the Bible. And he was very put out that, no, I don't want to read the Bible. I'd rather have something else.
And when God doesn't work in the way that we think he should, and sometimes the answer is just simplicity of doing what you already know. Just be faithful with what you have. Isaiah says this. Says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And folks, sometimes we have these grand expectations. You know, if I pray, all of a sudden God's going to change my spouse overnight. Well, maybe that's not how it's going to work. Maybe God wants to change you. But that's not what I'm expecting. You know, Lord, I'm struggling with my bills. I'm struggling with my finances. And Lord, I expect, you know, go down to the mail and open the mailbox, and there's going to be this, you know, this huge check in there. And somewhere along the line, I have a relative who passed away and gave me all of his or her inheritance. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Right? We expect these grand things. And maybe the Lord is like, no, give us our daily bread. Give me enough for today. That's not very grand, is it? But it's very true. Lord, help me to conquer mountains, and yet I'm dissatisfied with, Lord, give me the strength for today. And that wears away at our faith. Sometimes we feel God doesn't work in these grand, big ways. We wonder if he's working at all. And imagine this man who brought his son felt all of this. And he turns around and said, look, I've come to see Jesus, and I'm stuck with the disciples. And not even the top tier, right? I mean, you always think of Peter, James, and John as the top tier. They weren't even there. You know, I'm just stuck with Andrew. What's he going to do? No, God has given him the authority. Trust. So wrong expectations can rob our faith. The second one is misaligned plans. Misaligned plans. Like I said, as the man went through and came with his expectation, I'm going to go see Jesus and Jesus will heal him. Now he's stuck with the disciples. But also, I think in the background of this, if you take things in context, you remember just a few verses back, Jesus had told his disciples, right? They were all talking about the kingdom of God, and you're going to set up this kingdom, and we'll reign with you. And Jesus is like, no, I'm going down to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. And remember Peter said, Lord, no, right? And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And it's interesting because in the passage right after this, take a look. This is what he said in chapter 16, the chapter before. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this will not happen. And it's interesting because in this passage, we get down to verse 22 and 23, and Jesus repeats it once again. He says, now while they were staying in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And notice what he says here, and they were exceedingly what? Sorrowful. And I think if something that would rob your faith is when my plans don't line up with God's plans. You ever have that happen? God, this is how I think it's all going to work out. And it doesn't work out that way. And that robs us of our faith. You know, maybe we're praying for something, for a miracle to take place, and God doesn't work like we think he should. And that robs us of our faith. Again,
years ago, there was a group coming through. We were in Bible school. And there were a singing group. There was a family, and they sang. And I remember we went there and listened to them, and they weren't very good. And I remember sitting there for the first couple of numbers thinking, oh, man, there. And the Lord had to tap me on the shoulder and say, you know, John, who are you to judge? Because they're better than I was, right? But I was like, oh, you know, why? And they started to just talk and share and the testimony that they had. And one of the girls got up and, I don't know, she was probably about 16, if that. And she got up and shared that they had a brother who was probably about 8 years old, who had cancer. And they were a church family, and they had many friends. This is before Facebook. But they had cards and letters going out. They had people pouring in. People all around the world were praying for this boy to get healed. And each day he got a little worse. And she said she remembers sitting there by his bedside, and she was taking a turn watching him to give some of the family a break. And it was just her and this 8-year-old boy. And hey, that's not that old. And the boy looked at her and said, I'm going to die today. And she said, no. We're praying. People around the world are praying that you will be healed. And I believe with all my heart, God is going to heal you. And this little 8-year-old boy, it's amazing, it's to the mouth of babes, took his sister's hand. And she goes, God is going to heal me. He goes, I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm going to wake up and see Jesus. And I'm going to run to his arms. And I'll be healed. And she said, that's not what I prayed for. And she goes, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. And he closed his eyes and died. And you hear this 6-year-old get up. And she goes, that shook me. Because we were praying that God would heal him. But not that way. But she goes, we're here today to share with you that God answers prayer. Just not always like we think. Folks, that's faith. And it's interesting because they sang several songs after that. And interesting happened. Because by the end, they were one of my favorite groups that had come through and sang, because it wasn't about their voices, it was about their hearts. And folks, sometimes my plans don't line up with God's plans. And that will rob me of my faith if I hold on stronger to my hands than seeking out him. We're told this in the book of James, warns us, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And I think one of the struggles that I've had throughout my whole life is I come to God with my plans and say, God, this is how I want things to work out. And I'm not incredibly stupid. I'm kind of stupid, but not incredibly stupid. Because I know I can't make all this happen. And so I know I pray to God and say, God, this is my plans, and I need you to make my plans work out. And God says, no, John. It's my plans. The Bible says, I know my plans for you, the Bible says. And
And so as we come to him by faith, trusting in his plan. Because if we don't, if it's all about us and what I want and how I think and all these things, folks, it will rob us of our faith because it doesn't work that way. You know, this teenage girl could easily have said, well, we prayed and God didn't answer our prayers. Why should I pray? Why should I do? That wasn't the come away, was it? No. It was God did answer her prayers. God is faithful. This wasn't according to her plans. On the night of the crucifixion, Jesus wrestled, knowing the cross was near. Knew the beating that would take place. He knew that the sins of the world would be poured upon him. And in that moment, he cried out this, saying, Father, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus in the flesh looked at what was coming and said, I don't want to do it. And Lord, if there's any other way, stop this. But not my will, but your will be done. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe God is good? I believe God is good. I'm his child. The Bible says that, look, what father, you know, could ask for a fish, do you give him a scorpion? Or ask for a bread, do you give him a stone? Right? As a father, I want to give good things to my children. But I want to do what's right for them. So much so, the Bible says, our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things. Then why does bad things happen? How come God doesn't stop the world and let me off? You ever felt that way? You know, I don't like this ride. I want to get off. How come he doesn't do that? And I come back to this verse. That the Son said, if it's possible, stop this ride. And sometimes in our lives, for God's will to be accomplished, this is the road we have to go through. And sometimes it's through the road of suffering and pain. But don't let that rob your faith, but trust in him more, that he knows what he's doing, that he is good and he is faithful and he'll see us through. And even though he doesn't share with me the cause of it, or sometimes he doesn't share with me how it's going to work out, I trust him. Just like in that raft, that little girl, young lady was barking at us, left, right, just do what I tell you to do. And sometimes God's word's that way. I just obey. I just trust in him. And the next thing we know, we're through it. Lastly, things that rob our faith is wrong expectations, misaligned plans, and sometimes it's a lack of knowledge. It's interesting because the disciples, you know, they were kind of showing up, right? This guy shows up. And says, hey, where's Jesus? And well, Jesus is gone. How long is he gone for? We don't know. Well, I got my son. He needs healing. Oh, come. Bring him to us. We can heal him. It's like, all right. And so they bring this boy, and they aren't able to help him. Then Jesus does show up, and he says, oh, you little faith. And the disciples came and said, well, wait a minute, Jesus. You had given us authority to do this. How come we couldn't? And Jesus says, this kind only comes up by prayer and fasting. And they're like, oh, how come we didn't know this ahead of time? And folks, it's amazing that sometimes in our ignorance, we have expectations from God of things that he doesn't want. We're told that we don't have because we ask amiss. Because sometimes if God gave us what we wanted, how we wanted it, I would use it for myself. Sometimes they're selfish reasons. And sometimes I don't even know it. You know, it's interesting. When I first got into ministry, The first few times I had to go to the hospital and someone was dying. And here I was, just a young man, and you walk into a situation where the family's all gathered around and grandma or grandpa is dying or mom is suffering. And you walk in and you're like, oh, the pastor's here, do something. No pressure. Actually, it either goes one of two ways. Actually, I went into one family, stepped in, and I was visiting, and the lady and the grandmother was in the hospital bed. She goes, well, who's that? And she goes, oh, it's the pastor. She goes, no one told me I was dying. You know, it's like, no, I'm just visiting. I don't know anything. You know, so some of the people have, you know, occupational hazard of being a pastor. You know, what? No. But sometimes they look at you like, pastor, do something. Pray and make grandma better. I learned on really early in ministry that this doesn't come with a magic wand that I can just touch and change things. And over the years, there's been times so much where we prayed, Lord, make them better. And that's what we want, right? We want to spend more time. We want just a few more days, a few more years. We want us to be relieved. And so many times I've gone into situations where the person's like, no, I just want to go home to be with the Lord. I remember going in and seeing John Doak before he passed away. And those of you who knew John Doak, you were blessed. But going in and spending the last few days with him, I was like, do you want me to pray that you get better? He goes, no, I just pray the Lord hurries me up so I can go home. I want to see Jesus. I want to see my wife. And he's like, don't you dare pray for me to get better. But boy, we get selfish. And we think we know all the answers. We think we know all this.
Can I tell you something? We don't know nothing. And when we approach the throne of grace and lay our prayers down, Lord, this is what I want, but Lord, your will be done, because your will is so much better than mine. Show me from your word of what you want. Hosea said this, is that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. Romans 10 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes I ask for things that God doesn't want. Years ago, a young lady showed up and asked to talk to Cindy. And she goes, I talked to the pastor's wife. I was like, sure. So, Cindy, someone's here for you. And they sat on the couch. And I said, you know, I'm going to step out and give you guys some time. So I came home. And my wife was like, she's like, this young lady was so excited because she met this man. And she goes, will you pray that this is God's will? And that as soon as he leaves his wife, that we'll be together? And my wife was like, I don't have to pray about that. I know God's will is for him to work it out with his wife. And she got mad and walked out. Well, who are you to know God's will? What we ask for and what we pray for needs to line up with this. And as I read God's word and I understand him more, he reveals himself to me more, that in here I can pray more wisely because of his word. You know what? I know the Bible wants me and God wants me to be a good husband, to be a good father. I know that. God wants me to live a holy life. I don't need to pray about those things because I know his word has told me so. And folks, sometimes when we ask for what we want,
that's contrary to his will, we get angry and we get upset.
I was watching a news program and they showed someone whose house was demolished because of a hurricane or a tornado. I can't remember which it was.
And they asked, a reporter came up and asked the lady, and she was like, you know, I said, oh, how do you feel right now? Which is a horrible thing to do to someone whose house has just been wiped out. But they do that all the time, right? How do you feel right now? And she goes, you know, I used to be a Christian. But God said that in his Bible that bad things wouldn't happen to me. She goes, so I don't believe him anymore. She goes, I'm not a Christian anymore. And I'm like, you know what? The Bible has never said bad things won't happen to us. You can't find it. But he does say he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That he will sustain us and he will keep us. Trust in him. But she had in her mind something that wasn't biblical that she was hanging on to. And when that didn't happen the way she thought, she lost her faith. And folks, we need to make sure that our faith is built upon the Word of God. Folks, help our unbelief. Help me believe in you, Lord, because I know who I have believed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Word. Lord, along with our faith, Lord, to hang on to you, Lord, help our disbelief. Lord, I pray that you don't allow these things to rob us of our faith. Lord, but help us to seek out your will and your plan and trust in you. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us in our unbelief. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.